Speaker today is Wayne Graves. He's from Elmira. Didn't have a whole lot to go on introducing other than I said that we'd apologize for him knowing Frank, and he kind of felt that was okay. So, all right, Wayne, it's all yours. Thank you.
All right, let me move this chair all the way. Good morning, everyone. As he said, my name is Wayne Graves. I'm from Elmira. I'm originally grew up out in Western New York, grew up out in the quite a lot different than what I live now in Elmira. This little town I grew up in is West Clarksville, south of Cuba. If you've ever been traveling along 86, that's where I'm from originally. We've lived in Elmira area, Horseheads area, for probably 20 years or more, most of our married life. So that's what we're doing. So we send greetings from our church at First Baptist in Horseheads. I always enjoy the opportunities that I get invited to go speak at churches, and thankful for that this morning. And so, yeah, that's us. We have a couple children. This is my wife, Jess, in the third row. That's Jess, so you can get to know her. Our son is a sophomore at Clark Summit University, which used to be Baptist Bible College. And our daughter, Olivia, this morning, she's involved with things at church. And so she had to, and she's driving now. She's 16, junior, all that good stuff. So she's, stayed home so she could just go to church and be able to do that. So just looking forward to our time in the Word this morning. If you want to turn to Colossians is where we're going to spend our time this morning, Colossians chapter 2. But as we start this morning, I want us to think about trees, all right? So think about a tree either that most of us have an image in our minds of the tree, either the way it's shaped or something that a special tree in your yard or in your woods that, you know, maybe you built a tree house or a tree stand in or something that's special to you. And, you know, that tree, because you did something large like that, it's, you know, it grew and has all those benefits of being a large tree. I remember as a kid, I had this old apple tree that I actually built a tree house in, and that tree has special meaning to me until it fell over, of course, grew too old and just fell over. But yeah, so those are the things that that tree just takes time to nurture and to grow. And we're going to look at that today a little bit as we look into the scriptures. Before we open the scriptures, I want to pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these people here that are just gathered here together and want to look in your word this morning. I just pray as we look at it and we think about it, pray that we will be able to apply it to our lives and just be able to grow from it. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I want to read chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Verses 1 through 10. And follow along as I read, but we're going to focus on three verses for the actual message. But I wanted to give a little bit bigger context of this, and so I want to read verses 1 through 10 of Colossians chapter 2. It says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. In wisdom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Now, as we get into the word, I just want to give a little background of the book of Colossians. Book of Colossians, written, of course, by the Apostle Paul. It's one of the prison epistles, and is written in Colossae was in Asia Minor. So that was had been part of the Greek Empire. So that influenced some of these thoughts that he's looking at. But Paul was addressing some things in this book. Take some time to read the whole book. You'll understand a little more of the context. But he's addressing some thoughts, some false teaching that was already creeping into the church. And we don't really know what that false teaching was, but we do think that might have been some of the same issues that John was dealing with, an idea called Gnosticism. Gnosticism was the idea of some kind of special knowledge. Remember that Asia Minor was part of the Greek Empire, and the Greeks, they were all about knowing things. You know, that's where we get Socrates and Plato and all those guys sitting around, you know, thinking about all this knowledge. And so that was, you know, some of that teaching was getting into the church. But this book's also very Christocentric, very all about Christ. And John did the same thing. His book's very Christocentric. And so you'll see that throughout this book. Gnosticism, you think, what is Gnosticism? That's not a word we usually use in America. You know, that's, well, what's Gnosticism? Well, it comes actually from a Greek word, gnosis. Or that's how it's spelled, G-N-O-S-I-S. And it's the word for knowledge, word for wisdom. And so that's why the whole idea of, you know, having knowledge or the special knowledge. Now, because of that knowledge, they didn't believe that Jesus, one of the thoughts of Gnostics, was Jesus couldn't be both God and human at the same time. But the Bible clearly teaches us that, you know, God became flesh through Jesus and dwelt among us. We see that in John. John addresses it again in his epistles. Paul addresses it here in Colossians, that Jesus was, you know, is the one who holds the universe together. And those are things that we need to remember. But so that's a little bit of the background of this book. And so as we, I want to look at four things today, and they all pertain to our spiritual walk. And the first one is being rooted, all right? The scripture in verse 7, it says, because it starts in verse 6, the idea, it says, "So you therefore have received Christ Jesus as the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up." So you're rooted. So what does rooted mean? Most of us know what it means for a plant to be rooted. It develops roots on it, of course. So that's the whole idea even here. And this verb is in what they call the perfect tense in Greek. And when something's in the perfect tense, it means that it happened in the past and it's complete. All right, so it's already done. It's not something that keeps happening. And so it appears that when you're rooted, it happens at salvation. You're rooted. And, of course, he's trying to encourage them because they're being taught some of this false teaching, and so he wants them to be firm in their teaching. When you start a plant, you want it to get rooted. And if you don't have a seed, sometimes you can start things from the leaf of a violet plant. All right, my grandmother, she had tons of violets in her house. She had probably, we used to spend time counting how many violet plants she had. At one point, she had over 100 violets in her house. So that was just, my grandma's hobby was violets. That was one of her hobbies. And she, I remember she'd always have two or three sitting on the windowsill, it looked like just in water. But she was getting those, what they called slips, to root so she could get another plant. And I was always amazed that she'd have it sitting there in a few weeks, all of a sudden it'd be rooted, and she could plant it and become a plant again. And so that's what this means. It's you're rooted, and so you develop the roots, and then that's done. You can become the plant. So we are rooted in Jesus. We, as Christians, we've been rooted. And then it's that next step is being built up. So what does this being built up mean? Well, this is a process. It's a continual process. We've used it. I know that there's terms, different terms that they use for it. Sometimes it's called discipling, and that's a continual process. We as Christians are disciples of Christ. So we learn and we grow in our walk with God. Another word, another term they use might be sanctification. We're set apart, and we something called progressive sanctification. That means it continues to happen. And so so this is a process. And since this process doesn't happen instantly, you have to put work into being built up. You have to put work into it. It doesn't just happen. And if you just wait for it to happen, usually what happens, you fall down. You go the wrong way. And so you need to continue to be built up. It'd be nice if we could become spiritually mature instantly. I'm sure many of you wish that you were, you know, could handle everything because you're spiritually mature 100% of the time. But that's not how God made us. We're humans. And so we have to work through that. And we see that as a process. We think of Peter. Peter, you know, you think about these different disciples, and some of them we know more about, and Peter is one of those that we know a lot about. He had his good days, and he had his bad days. It's easy sometimes to focus on his bad days, but we're going to talk, I'm going to mention a few of his of both, all right? So Peter's faith moved him to be able to walk on water. He kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked on water. Peter was outspoken after the resurrection about how, you know, who Jesus was and that he had risen from the dead. He and John preached the gospel in Acts after he was beat. And I don't know how many of us would do something like that. You know, that was because he was growing in his spiritual walk. Then we think of some of his negatives, some of his bad days he had. First, we think of his denial of who Jesus was. Denial that he even knew who Jesus was. Remember, during the trial, Jesus had been taken away, and he is denying Christ. And I can't imagine the emotions, you know, that Peter dealt with after that happened. And Jesus, you know, if you remember the account, Jesus just looked at him, and he knew that he had done the wrong thing. But yeah, that was one of his bad days. Another one, it was a similar time frame. He cut off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest, and just acting out of, you know, compulsion instead of really what Jesus wanted him to do. Or even at the Last Supper where Peter says, "Jesus, just wash my whole body. You're too, you know, I'm not worthy for you just, you know, for you to even wash my feet. If you're going to wash my feet, you want to wash the whole body." But Jesus used that to show him that that wasn't what was happening. I know there's a lot more things about Peter that we can talk about, but we're not going to talk about this morning. But let's think of some of the things that help us grow as a disciple and be encouraged in our walk with Jesus. Think about, and one of the first things that comes to our mind is reading the Bible. We talked about in Sunday school this morning about the oracles of God. This is what the oracles of God are. And God wants us to know these. And he wants us to study them. He wants us to know what he's trying to tell us through his word. And it's important to be able to do that. And there's different ways to do that. You know, not just reading it. Because sometimes people will say, "Well, I read the Bible. I read the whole Bible and now I'm good," right? No. No, that's where our pride sometimes gets the better of us, saying, "Oh yeah, I remember I read the Bible once, and so I'm good. I'm good to go." No, you need to stay in that because God teaches us new things all the time as we're reading some of those same familiar passages. It's kind of funny for me. I started teaching the teen Sunday school at our church in the last since the middle of COVID, so probably about a year we've been studying it. And we ended up teaching John twice just because of the way some of the curriculum showed up. And the first time was I chose to say, hey, I wanted to study John. And then the next time I said, okay, let's get the curriculum it's a new curriculum that Regular Baptist Press was putting out. And I said, yeah, let's just get the new curriculum. We get in the mail. It was the book of John again. I was like, well, God must want us to see different things, you know. And so studying the book of John twice within this last year for myself, it is amazing the things that you see. You know, the things that, the events that that John was addressing and with the disciples and the miracles. And it's just really, really neat. So that's one thing. And we have to remember that the Bible is given to us to become mature. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. This is a passage that many of us are familiar with. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration. I love that. All scripture. It doesn't say some. It doesn't say the New Testament. It doesn't say the Old Testament. It says all. All scripture. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God might be what? Complete. The King James says that might be perfect. And we all know that perfection's not going to happen this side of heaven. But when you start understanding even this passage, this translator, the New King James translators, use the word complete. And that means that we're mature, that we become mature. And that's what the Bible is there for us. And so then it tells us why we're going to become mature so we can do all these good works. It says thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that's what the Bible is there for us. So that's one thing, reading the Bible. Another thing that's important, this isn't an exhaustive list to help us grow, but these are things that we're familiar with and things that to encourage us. But praying to God, that's important. Praying with other people, praying with our friends, praying with other church members, just praying with each other, pouring our hearts out to God about things that we're struggling with, each other is struggling with, things that we're burdened for, our neighbors, and all those types of things. So we do that, praying. Singing and worship, singing songs to God about how awesome He is. Singing songs or listening to songs that build up our faith. Getting together at church, getting together not necessarily at the church building, but with the church, I should say, so we can encourage each other from God's Word. And we can study it together, because sometimes studying it with other people, that gives us a different perspective. Sometimes it encourages us. Other people are able to encourage us because that's how God designed the church to work. Sometimes just doing things with other people, that will help you develop relationships, but also helps you develop in your Christian walk, because you're able to talk about some spiritual things. The thing that for me that works the best is going out in nature. All right? I enjoy hiking and camping. My background as a young person, I spent 10 summers, if I can remember right, at camp, working at a camp. And I'll tell you, God did a lot of good things at camp. And takes you out of your comfort zone, away from everything, and helps you focus on who God is. And he was able to teach me a lot of good things from that. Sometimes just getting together with other Christians to encourage each other, because we all face struggles, and sometimes when we're facing those struggles, we'll retreat. And that becomes a dangerous thing, because our minds sometimes go down dark roads. We need to get together with each other to encourage each other, because there's those times where someone else is having an up day, an encouraging day, or there's those people that just are naturally encouragers. Because, I mean, I've met multiple people that are like that you get to church and they're always like kind of in this bubbly mood, you know? You're like, wow, this person, sometimes they can be annoying, but you know what? Sometimes they're those people that you need to have. that day. And you're like, man, I am just so glad for this person's positive attitude. Another one is going to conferences. Someone who, or not just going to conferences. Nowadays, it's kind of interesting. We're living in a day that we can save a lot of gas money by watching some of these conferences of people that we respect. You know, Bible conferences, prophetic conferences, just some of that great teaching that is out there. But these are just some ideas. But man, the list can just go on and on. We could just brainstorm about that all day, but we're not going to. We'll run out of time. So everything in life needs to be, when we think about being built up, we think of things that need to have maintenance done on them. All right, everything in the world, everything, I should say human-made especially, needs to have maintenance done on it. It needs to be continued to build up. You build a new building, well, in 20 or 30 years, it's going to start to have some maintenance done on it. Our house, for example, is about 100 years old or so, and it's had multiple roofs on it. But I'm very thankful that people put roofs on it because it's in decent shape today. And those are things, you know, in the life of your house or life of a building that you need to continue to do that maintenance. And that's the same way with our Christian walk. We need to do maintenance. We need to keep building ourselves up, keep building our walk with God up. But let's get back to the idea of a tree or a plant. What do we do with a tree or a plant? Well, we fertilize it. We prune it. We get rid of the crud to help it grow more, help it to produce more. You know, I took up my hobby of gardening 10 years ago or so, and I have really enjoyed it. Frank and I, we shared different stories about our gardening, and I remember a few years ago, Frank was telling me how huge his garden was and all this produce. He was to the point where he's like, Wayne, here's some more produce if you want some, because I just have way too much. And I totally understand that, because there's days where you're, especially things like zucchini, you know, zucchini just grows and you're like, what else can we make out of zucchini, you know? But what do you do? You prune those, you weed your garden, you keep the critters out to try to produce more. And that's the same way in our spiritual walk. We have to get that crud out of there so we can grow better. So there are times, though, in our walk with life, in the spiritual life, that we can get discouraged. There's times in this life here on earth that we can get away from God. Those are the times we really need to lean into Him. We need to lean into our support group as believers. We need to get into His Word. We need to really take that time to really figure out what God is trying to tell us and what changes need to make with God. Those are the times, though, we have to get back and focus on God to make sure our walk with Him is good. So we've talked about being rooted and built up. And now this third one of the process is abounding in thanksgiving. In verse 7, I love this, says, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. It doesn't say just a little bit of thanksgiving. Nope. It says abounding. When you think of something that's in abundance or something is abundant or abounding, it's like overflowing. So as Christians, we should be very thankful. I'm not saying that there's times in life that, you know, we're not as thankful, but we should be growing and be thankful for so many things. I wanted to have a little list here of some of the things that I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for life, you know, that I can come to church, I can go out, I can go to my job, I'm able to work. I'm thankful that I have the freedom to worship God. You know, there's a lot of our brothers and sisters around the world that don't have that freedom, but you know what? I'm just thankful for that freedom. We have so many blessings of different things. Sometimes we can be thankful for our family. We can even be thankful for those family members that rub us the wrong way. But we can just still be thankful to God for them. We can be thankful for a roof over our house or for over our heads. You know, there's so much to be thankful for. Not everyone has the same list of things to be thankful for. Sometimes people are struggling through things, but there's always something that you can be thankful for. I think the context here, though, isn't the physical things. It's our spiritual things. Thankful for our salvation. Thankful for our churches. Thankful for Christians who can help me through life and support me through things. So sometimes we need to be reminded of how we need to be thankful. There seems to be this natural progression of our Christian walk. So we're rooted and then built up and then abounding in thanksgiving. But as we close, I just want us to think about, as we close this last section out, I just want us, in verse 8, Paul gives us a warning. I love it. It says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit." This idea of being, of beware or be on guard. Some of the other translators that I was looking at, they used be on the guard. There's always the enemy, Satan, he always wants to get us sucked in away from what is right. He wants to suck us away in wrong teachings. You know, Frank was mentioning, him and I have talked about this multiple times, but, you know, some of these churches that are sucking people away, and we just have to be sensitive that the things that we do and things that we believe are coming straight from the Bible and not from emptiness and just making you feel good. He warns us, Paul warns us, that there's a lot of worldly philosophy that's trying to lure us away from the truth of God's word. This is a reminder that we need now more than ever, it feels like. We are getting bombarded with so much news, so much information, that sometimes just turning on the news, not sometimes, most of the time lately, you get discouraged just turning on the news. And to the point where you start talking to people and people aren't really thinking for themselves anymore. They're just getting so bombarded with stuff that whatever the news guy said, that's what they believe. And that's not what God's word tells us to. It says, he even tells us to test the spirits. You know, John tells us that in his epistle. And we need to be able to evaluate that. We need to use the Bible as a filter. I always think of that. We always need to be looking at even the news. You have the news out here, look at it through the lenses of the Bible. You know, like, whoa, that doesn't line up with the Bible. Maybe I shouldn't believe it. You know, those are things that we need to think about. And that's everything in life. You know, just because a guy gets up and preaches a sermon someplace doesn't mean we can trust him. You know, we need to be able to evaluate. And that's another reason why it goes back to earlier, being built up in the faith, being built up in our walk with God, and knowing what the Word of God says. When you read and study Scripture, you need to constantly be thinking of how the Scripture applies to my life. And I've hoped that as I've taught you some things today, I hope that it's an encouragement, because that's always what I set out to do, trying to be an encouragement, but at the same time, want to be able to apply the Word of God to our lives. So as we bring it to a close today, I want us to go back to the idea of a tree. The next time you see your favorite tree, take time to think, to give thanks for this reminder that a tree is only as big because it had good roots and it had good opportunity to grow. And we need to be able to think of ways to cultivate in our own lives how we can grow. We are living in a time frame that we have so many good resources to help us study the Bible. And I'm not saying all the resources out there are good, but you have to be wise. Maybe you need to throw an idea off a friend that you respect. Say, hey, I was reading this book by this guy. You know, is it this guy a good author, or is this guy, you know, on point because he has a different idea than what I've been, you know, either taught or I've read in the past. And those are things that we have to be evaluating. But I really, I don't want to necessarily give you this as a commercial for my pastor, but our pastor did this thing this last year about God's gym. And you know what? Cultivating ourselves in the Word is kind of like working out at the gym, or however you work out. You know, you may work out at home, or you know, however it's exercising and taking in the right food, and that's how we think about our lives physically and living and growing correctly physically. But today, talking about spiritually. And so our church has a website, it does have a website, but it also has a YouTube channel, and he has all these sermons on there. So if you want an opportunity to look at them, it's called God's Gym. That's the series that he went through. And Toby Locke is his name. Great guy. Love the guy. And just something to think about. But yeah, that's how we have to think about the Christian walk, that we need to be in his Word and be able to apply it to our lives. Sometimes it is hard to apply. I'm not sugarcoating that. Sometimes it is hard. But we need to think about it and think about how God is changing our hearts to walk with him. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we just thank you so much for your Word. Thank you for this letter that Paul wrote to the believers there at Colossae. They were facing some struggles that they were dealing with, and I'm sure we're dealing with some of that same stuff. I know in our own home church that's dealing that, and I'm sure it's like that across the board here in most churches in America. I just pray that we will take the time to study your Word, apply it so that we can be built up and be thankful for you and what you've done for us. And pray that as we go out this week, that we will just be encouraged to serve you and to reflect you to others around us. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.